Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our good buddy, Chris Buck. And I was just saying before we got connected, or just we haven't chatted in a long time. It's good to have you on the podcast, just really so we can catch up.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for thinking of me. And I'm really glad you reached out because, you know, I've been I haven't put out anything in a while, but it hasn't been because I haven't been busy. I've been working my butt off.
So I thought maybe you came up with some kind of a pop name and you were releasing pop music under some name. And I wanted to get the dirt on that. That's the only reason why I got you on today, because you disappeared in country and you're too good to be gone for a while. I just figured you came up with
Gaines thing.
Yeah. You know, I just thought maybe you disappeared.
No, didn't not happening. Rumors are not true. Not true.
Man, I'm trying to think what your pop name would be. That's my plan during this podcast. I'm gonna come up with some kind of a cool pop name for you, just in case you ever want to.
Chris Gaines 2.0, featuring nice. Chris Buck, not Garth.
You would be sued by Garth. Although I don't know, Garth seems like that mysterious guy who wouldn't sue you. He would just probably come and whisk you off somewhere and hide you in his basement for 3 years. He's playing the inauguration. I don't know if you saw that. Garth Brooks. Yeah, that's a cool political he says non-political, but it's a little political statement.
It's a little political. That's what was great about me being down in the States so much over the last few years is it's a whole nother ball game down there, and it's I'm not going to get into my political views, but I'm just going to say I am happy to be Canadian. And the other thing I do like about voting in Canada is you just don't have a red and blue. You got numerous parties to vote for, which I think is great because it doesn't separate the country right away, which I think is good.
We can be divided into multiple.
Exactly. Multiple.
Not everybody in Canada, I shouldn't speak, but we're more polite with our dividedness though, right? Like just there, I don't want to talk about my politics, but you know, it's just, we're sort of like that. Some of us.
I agree. It's like I said, it's totally different up here. And I think we have a reputation up in Canada for being polite and friendly people. And I think we should keep it that way.
So where are you COVIDing?
COVIding up in Canada. So basically what happened was earlier this year in Nashville, the tornado hit, which a lot of people maybe forgot about. And my house where I was living was literally two blocks off that path. Like I'm talking houses were completely gone. Like you couldn't even see them. So that was scary because I was doing a show up in, I think, Grand Prairie or something at the time. And I didn't even know if my house was standing when I went back because I couldn't get a hold of my roommate. My roommate is Crystal from Sons of Daughters, and I couldn't get a hold of her. So I didn't know what was going on. Anyways, went back. There was just a bunch of stuff all over the yard and it was a bit of a mess, but otherwise our house was fine. I think I came back up to Canada again to play a show. Then COVID hit, and then there was a lot of uncertainty down there. And then more like my parents were kind of like, well, you don't have health care, so maybe, maybe you should come back. And I came back in March and I was still paying rent down there for the last few months, but I've been in Canada since March.
Are you staying with your parents?
I'm not. I'm staying with my girlfriend up here. So
if you're staying with your parents, it'd be interesting to ask them now if they thought you should move home. Listen, we'll pay your health care, Chris. We'll pay your health care.
Thank you. I love the country of Canada for that. It felt good getting back. So I've been here, and a lot of the writing I've been doing is just through Zoom. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I was going to get into that. It's kind of the way things are changing, you know, like people, you know, flew down to Nashville to write face to face, which is a good energy in the room when you're writing and stuff like that. But with COVID, you know, people weren't meeting up. So I was getting a lot of the bigger writers, you know, on writes on Zoom. And at first, a lot of them were like, nah, we're not going to do that. We want to write in the room only. Mm. And now pretty much every writer I know is eventually writing on like Zoom or Skype, you know? So the whole industry's changed.
Do you think it'll change back 100%? My thought is it won't. My thought is that people are going to realize how easy it is to write from anywhere now. I think it'll go back somewhat, but do you think it will, or do you think it'll, as soon as this vaccine is out, it'll be back into the room writing like the old days?
I think it will be back in the room, but I think people will be a lot more open to like writing from home too, because it's not that bad. Like I've written some really great songs over Zoom, and a lot of times people don't want to leave the house. Like I know a lot of people are working from home now. And I think the one good thing about Nashville is like, if you're out and about, when things get back to normal, you meet a lot of these writers you wouldn't meet up in Canada, or some of the bigger writers through other people. So I think by me being down there, I built those contacts already with some of the bigger writers in the US. So I could actually text them and be like, hey, can I set up a write through Zoom? Mm-hmm. You know, if you never met them face to face, it might be a lot harder for an artist starting out being like, hey, I'm so-and-so, do you want to write through Zoom? And they've never met you in face to face. Could be a little tougher, but I do think the Zoom, to answer your question, I do think the Zoom Skype thing is going to be more common definitely now for people writing, instead of flying down there, just setting your rights up at your house.
Yeah. And then when it does go back to the regular stuff, people are going to realize they have to write with pants on again. And I don't know if that's like, I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
You know,
Chris, why'd you show up in your boxes? Uh-huh. Totally forgot, man. I'm getting confused.
This is my writing attire. This is what I wrote a number one song in these boxers.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Oh man. But you know, to say that, it's, you know, I've been away for a bit, but you know, I've been an independent artist, and it's really important. And I know you from the beginning, you know, the value of a song. And I think, you know, whether you have a huge record deal or you have a independent deal or whatever, if you have a really actually great song, it may not go number one, but it will maybe get you to the next level. So with this time off, I've just been taking my time, and I really want to, like, when I come back, I want people to be like, wow, you took the time to get great songs rather than good songs. Because I could have put out a few good songs, but that's not what I wanted to do with this process.
That is remarkable. And I'm really intrigued to get you on the podcast, because I wanted to talk about that. You have put on social media a lot that you have written that many songs. You haven't gone away.
No.
You're still very active. Tell me a little bit about... what's it like for an artist? And I commend you on this, because I think a lot of artists are afraid of the dead air, if you will, are afraid to let their songs breathe a little bit, to take some time off. What's it like as an artist to kind of step away from putting music out and work more on the craft of developing songs? Are you nervous that things will move on, or are you feeling pretty good that what you're coming up with is the best stuff and you're going to be able to walk right back in?
That's a great question. I feel like anytime you're creating something, I'm always nervous about it, because, you know, everyone's got their own opinion on music, so subjective, where they'll hear something and be like, that is your best song. And I'm like, really? That song was not even in my top five. So I think, you know, as I go forward, it hasn't been hard not putting stuff out. It's been extremely hard, but at the same time, I'm just focused on, okay, like when I do come back, I want people like yourself and other people to be like, okay, yep, he's improved. He's got the songs. And like I said, when you're up against some of the biggest country stars, you really need to stand out. And like I said, if you're not on a huge major deal that I'm not on, I really need to like really make it about the music. And you know, taking time away, yeah, it's been tough, but at the same time, it's been a lot of fun too. Like some of the people I've met, like I've met pretty much Luke Combs' whole band down in Nashville, and I can literally get them to play on demos by texting them, like stuff like that. That didn't happen
that is
a few
so cool,
years ago, you
right?
know? You know, like, so I was down in Nashville to almost like school to like learn to be better. It's like, you know, writing a great song is such a weird thing. Like where you'll go, I've gone into rooms that guys have written number one songs in the US, and I've written my worst songs with them. And I've gone in a room with guys who haven't written any big hits, and I've gotten great songs. So it's just so almost like a numbers game where, you know, some days things just seem to flow and some days they don't. But, you know, I'm a real big guy on song titles. I'm always walking out card sections and the Hallmark sections and looking at catchy little phrases, and I'm all about a song title. So if someone even comes in that's not the greatest writer, but they have a great song title or melody, then I'm like, oh, this is great. So it's really been interesting to see what I come up with. You know, every day is exciting because you just don't know what you're gonna get.
When I first heard about Chris Buck, one of the first things I heard was that this guy is a road dog. This guy plays hundreds of shows a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. how hard has that been for you not to be playing? Because I seem to recall like some of your schedules were like, you know, 200 dates a year sometimes.
Yeah, that was a couple of years back. But yeah, when I was starting out, I was playing everywhere, like places where people were like, no, I don't want to play there. I'm like, I'll play there. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at my social media and stuff, you know, I have held on to a lot of fans and gained a lot of fans for playing those small towns that literally no one wanted to go to. But they're the ones who are the ones that are always messaging and like, when's the music coming out? And so it's kind of, I'm glad I did it. I don't know. I'm getting a little older now. I don't know if I want to keep hammering the road for 200 dates a year. But definitely, I think when you're starting out, it's something you really got to do. Like you just, and it gives you that experience playing on stage too, because you see a lot of artists that just haven't played that much on stage. And when they get there, you know, singing good and looking good is one part, but actually getting a crowd involved in your show or interacting with them, it's something I don't think you could teach anyone. It just takes some time and it takes you to feel comfortable and, you know, up there and owning the crowd. And I think it just takes, you know, the 10,000 hour rule really on that to learn how to do that.
You can see that with artists who go out on a big tour, right? And, you know, I notice it more for Canadian artists because, you know, I get to see them at the beginning, their development stages. But yeah, you see some artists who will be developing and you can see the potential. Then they go out and they play 30 dates in 36 days. And then you see them off that. You're like, that was school right there. That you totally went to school and you are better now.
Yeah, totally. I always tell younger artists, I'm like, just play. Like, even if... Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a coffee shop, whatever, you're in front of people and you're learning. It's, you know, it's always practicing.
Speaking of learning, so obviously you're spending a lot more time with your girlfriend these days.
yeah.
What have you learned about each other that...
Oh, man, like, I don't know if I want to get into this because it's like, honestly, you know, we weren't living together before the pandemic.
That's what I mean. Like you guys, you guys fast forwarded stuff real quick. Now,
it's the most... If I have any relationship advice, I'm totally the wrong guy. I did it absolutely opposite to anyone I think has ever literally came to Canada, quarantined with her, and I haven't left. And it's been challenging. But at the same time, if you want to get to know someone quick, this was the time to do it. And luckily, we get along really, really great.
It's
been a
blessing. Is there one thing that she has to not nag you about? Because they never nag us. But is there one thing?
I can give you the list, Shiloh.
Yeah. Why don't we just put her on? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, his dishes aren't very good, and he doesn't clean up. I know exactly. Oh, we can cut that part
the
out.
The dishes. No, man, we're keeping, because that's accurate right there. It takes a lot to learn to live with somebody, and you guys really kind of put it into fast forward, you know.
Totally got thrown into it, and you know, man, it's been an interesting year. It's been good.
Is all your stuff in Nashville still, or did you manage to get that back up here?
Most of my stuff is still actually in Nashville. I have it at a friend's house, so I'm just waiting for the borders to open so I can go down and grab it. So it's kind of a bit of a waiting game, but it's safe, and I'll eventually get back down there once things get going again. But you know, this downtime has been good, and like I mentioned earlier with the writing, it's been good.
Do you guys do the couples binge watching? Like, are you guys watching shows together?
I hate to say this, and I really hope you cut this part out of the podcast.
I lied to you. I don't cut anything out.
I have never watched so much Bachelor, I think, my whole life. Like, I don't know.
You don't strike me as a Bachelor guy at all.
Now I'm like, what is the Bachelor on tonight? And she's like, you're asking? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh,
no. I'm hooked. How did I get hooked?
Oh, if you're asking if it's on, you're in now.
Oh, man.
You know, it's going to be great when you go back on the road with the guys and like the only thing that comes on the bus after a show is like Bachelor reruns.
Yes.
Man, the Bachelor's on, guys. Yeah, your whole show's based around, like, your start time's based around when the Bachelor's over. No, I can't go on right now. I've just started watching, and it's old, it's an older show, but just started watching Downton Abbey. And I had never seen it before because the first episode, I think I've tried to watch it a couple times before and I thought it was kind of garbage. Like, I didn't like the first episode and I couldn't get past it, but I have lots of time on my hands now. And so I did. I got to the second episode, and I'm like, wait a second, that's actually pretty good. But it's pretty good. And we just finished watching Bridgerton as well.
Oh, okay. I keep seeing that one pop up.
I got a game for you to play during this. This is going to be good. This is the Bridgerton game. You can all play it at home. My wife and I played it every episode. The over-under on sex scenes. There is – so basically you pick a number and you live with it. And you're like, hey, how many sex scenes in this episode? You got to shoot high, though. There is a lot of sex. Don't watch it with your parents, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Mom, you want to come over?
Want to come over and watch Bridgerton and we'll play the home game. We'll play
Well, I see that pop up all the time on Netflix, so I better check it out now, and I'll let you know what my score is on the over-under.
Oh, yeah, man. It's pretty good. And it blows my mind, because if you know anything about those period dramas and stuff and like life back then, mm-hmm. they wore so much clothes. So, like having sex was an ordeal. Like, you had to get undressed. It took you a half hour to get undressed and then a half hour to get dressed again. And there's a lot of sex in that show, so that I don't know how people found time. Just saying, I don't know. A quickie back then would have been 2 hours. It would have been 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right, now I gotta dig into this.
Where did this go? Where did this
I don't know, man. That's why I love talking with you. You just go to places where I'm like, are we going there? Yeah,
We're going there. When Now that you're going to be on this Bridgerton show, you're going to postpone all your releases now. But when are we actually going to see some of these 100 plus songs? Do you have a release plan for 2021? Or are you holding it sort of close and sort of not decided yet?
That's a great question. I was hoping to have something out February. But you know, I started some recording down in Nashville. I've done some recording up here. Like I've had three producers on some songs, like just getting in and getting on the vocals. So it's been a bit of a mismatch, but I'm hoping to get things out soon. Like I said, I have so many demos sitting there, and I went back through my catalog of songs that I've written over the years, and there's just so many songs I've done. So I created a catalog, and I talked to a bunch of other songwriters, because a lot of times you write and songs get, you know, on the shelf and they never get used, but maybe it's a song not for you. Maybe it's a song for another artist. So mm-hmm. I've started collecting songs from some of the other writers I write with, like songs I'm talking that have been sitting on their laptop for 5 years that are well done, but it's just maybe not been for them. So quick little story here. I have a friend whose son, he goes by the name Pao Fu. I don't know if you heard of him. He went platinum in four countries. He had a song called Coffee Shop on the pop charts. It went really big. But what he did, just the way the industry was, he was putting out a song a week there, I think for a few years, until that song stuck. Wow. Like, he just kept putting it out, and it got big, I think, on TikTok. It blew up on TikTok, and, you know, now it's gone platinum in four different countries. And it's just interesting to see. And I'm like, you know what, maybe I should even take the time to, like, put these songs together. And, like, I know Sam Hunt did, and just put out, like, a demo session thing online where people can hear, you know, a lot of songs and have some feedback on, you know, what I've been writing, kind of to get mm-hmm. their feedback on it. But as for radio and, you know, the song I'm going to put my name behind, you know, I think to me, it's like, I feel like I have the song. I'm just waiting to get it where I want it. And so I'm hoping pretty soon.
Take your time on that. And I think with mm-hmm. COVID, I don't know if it's COVID or if it's just but I've noticed a lot of not great production coming out.
Interesting.
Right now. And
interesting. Okay.
That drives me crazy as a guy mm-hmm. who picks music for the stations.
Yep.
Canadian artists have so much going against them, because if they're not signed, you have to be perfect. And the one thing you can control is production. And when I get stuff that's not produced well, it's just like, why would you shoot yourself in the foot already? I mean, you know, there's so many other things going against you. So I love that you're taking the time. I'm not saying it's bad production you have. I'm just saying I like how you're going to make it right first. And I think that's a lesson that I think a lot of younger artists need to learn, is don't throw it out if it's not ready, because it has to be perfect.
Yeah. And one thing about you, Shiloh, I've always respected. You've always been honest with me, even when I've gone in there, and you're all about production. You'll listen to things, I think, in a lot more detail than a lot of other people too. You'll notice things in my song, and be like, how come you did this, 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 and this part? And I'd be like, you noticed that? You're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, wow. okay. So it shows, like, you know, when you're like you said, if you're not major signed, it's so important to, like, it's one thing to write a really great song and have the lyrics and everything great, but then you got the production. Mm-hmm. Then how's your vocals on it? How does it make you feel when you listen to it? It's just so many things to a great song. It's funny. I'm still trying to wrap my head around
it. It's funny, like, with vocals you mentioned, because there's some really good singers, the new artists. I'm just saying, like, the mm-hmm. up and coming, the emergings. And you'll hear them on a song and they won't push their vocals. And then when you see them live, you're like, okay, but if you had done that in your song, when you're actually in the studio, you would have, but it takes a lot, right? It must be so weird being a new artist, you know, in the studio in an environment you're not familiar with. I mean, I get it. I'm a little hard on emerging talent, but
it's great you brought that up. Like, singing live is one thing, but singing under a microscope in studio with no one around is a whole nother ball game. And it's been a struggle for me for a long time. It's totally different. Like, putting the energy into it, like, feeling what you're singing, you know, feeling what you've written, like, it's totally different. And I'm at a point now, like, if I'm not happy, I'll go back in studio 10 times until I'm happy. Like, you know, it's just, I got to feel good when I'm putting something out too. And I think maybe that's why I've taken so long. Maybe I'm becoming too much of a perfectionist and stuff.
You can tell your girlfriend there's hope for you with the dishes, because I'm sure I nagged you back in your early days about this, and now you're paying attention. So just tell her it takes about 7 years.
Seven years. I'll let her know. I'll definitely pass it on. I'm sure she'll laugh when she hears that.
Chris, thank you very much for doing this for us. And I just, I'm so glad we could check in, because I kept seeing that you're writing and you're writing and you're writing, and I love it. I think the putting out songs online is a really cool idea, because it gives people a chance to hear them, and you get some feedback right away, mm-hmm. you know?
Totally. Totally. Just another way of doing it. And, you know, I'm excited, and, you know, I've definitely taken the time. And like you said, it's all about just getting the production right. And I think at the end of the day, now that I've been in the industry for a little while, it's just about how I feel. It's mm-hmm. just like when I put something out and I'm excited, whether it does well or not, if I know I've taken a step where I feel like I've improved, I think I'm headed in the right direction.
So besides putting out music and writing and things, what have you been doing sort of for your own mental health? What are some things you've been doing over COVID just to kind of stay busy or, you know, keep your mind off?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question. Cause it's, like I said, I know a lot of artists and I'm friends with a lot of them. They've been really struggling. You know, a lot of their income's coming from the live show, and, you know, especially a lot of them, if they haven't written their own music, they have no other extra income coming in. So it has been tough. I've been hiking a lot. Like, I'm talking 3 days a week, way in the bush, like way in the back, mountains, waterfalls. And I have never done that much hiking. And it's something that I really enjoy now. I even bought myself hiking boots, which is totally something I never would have done.
That's commitment. That's commitment right there.
And I've just been heading into the bush, and it's something I really enjoy doing, you know, a few times a week. And kind of that's been kind of my outlet, just getting close to nature.
Have you thought about doing one of those, like, multi-day, like, big trails?
I have. Yes, I have.
Which one would you do?
There's that one on Vancouver Island that's, I think, a 3 or 4 day one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm quite ready for that, but, you know, hiking in BC is tough as is, because most of it's inclined. So it's a little tough, but I'm definitely interested in doing that. And even you guys got some great trails out on the East Coast too.
We
I spent
do.
Some time out there
we
too.
Do.
So I'd love to even take some time to take advantage of that next time I'm out that way.
Any wildlife encounters? What's the closest you've come?
No bear sightings or like mm-hmm. or anything like that. There is cougars out here too, which can be a little terrifying. More on Vancouver Island than in the Vancouver Okanagan region. But right. I haven't came along really anything, and I hate to say it, I kind of wish I might encounter. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Just from a little bit of a distance, right?
From a long distance.
Listen, if you decide to go out on that 3 or 4 day hike around the island there, let me know. And after 8, if I don't hear from you, I'll send somebody, you know, to make sure you're all right. Okay. Just that's the kind of guy that it's the kind of guy that I am.
Shiloh's got me. Where are you, Shiloh?
Chris, thank you very much. We'll check in again when you sort of get more of a release plan, and maybe we'll listen to some new music together or something. Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks again for having me on, and you know, hope you and the family are doing well, and looking forward to getting out there as soon as I can.
Yeah, we'll see you.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.